I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. Nobody can touch me.
With a brand new episode of CM Juice Wrestling Reviews. This is episode 62, and on this episode, we close out the Royal Rumble month with a massive look at both this year's Royal Rumble and the Royal Rumble of 2004. And as usual, whenever it is time for epicness, that means I need to bring on some epic contributors and guest hosts. First, you know him from the Absolution Network. He is our homegrown titty master and that dude in the straw hat. He is the one, the only epic Shin Tiger Curl.
Hit Raccoon's theme music.
Wait a minute. What do you mean that you don't have Raccoon's theme music? What is a copyright strike? Forget it. Raccoon, we'll do it on Ad Lib. Anyway. CM Jew, Raccoon has heard all this talk about how you're the best Jew in the world. But you know what that means to Raccoon? Absolutely nothing. Because you're now facing the big man of the Ginyu Force. That's right. My name is Raccoon. It rhymes with doom. And you're going to be in a lot of pain. Too soon.
And then he went boom.
By the way, Raccoon would like to mention that he is not a lucky Raccoon. Raccoon demands 5.
So 5 booms, okay. Boom, 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 boom. And of course, joining us is the man who was to be the host of Ref Down, but a one torn rotator cuff later. he's not. Not his rotator cuff, but T-Dubs. Because, you know, he was just... What happened was he was... by the way, Mike Shell, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening, everybody.
The man who literates Fez power.
No, it's Fez mode.
Fez mode. See, the first time on, I gotta get something wrong.
Fez mode.
The story actually behind it is, you know, T-Dub was, you know, gushing over his favorite wrestler in the whole world, Eva Marie, and he accidentally tore his rotator cuff.
Just mentioning her is enough to make a person botch.
Well, what will be warranted, though? This is what happens when you watch Total Divas, but it's his favorite show.
Yeah,
and mine,
so.
Too.
And yours, but you don't go into your bedroom all by yourself, turn the lights out, and bring out the lotion and tissues like T-Dub does. I'm. See, this would be the better way to test to see if T-Dub listens to my episodes.
He is gonna troll you so hard the next time you get on those tests.
So yes, tonight, by the way, also making the CMU an Absolution Network debut is my new Yeti microphone. So if I sound a lot clearer tonight, it's because of my Yeti. Say hello, Yeti. But no, tonight is an epic night. We have so much to talk about. We have news. We have a review of this past year's Royal Rumble, which was epic.
Mm-hmm.
We have, of course, I'm going over the final Raw of January for 1998 in my own segment. And of course, we'll be reviewing one of the greatest Rumbles of all time. Second to last time, WWE brought the Royal Rumble to Philadelphia. And of course, I'm not talking about last year, 2015. I'm talking about 2004 when Bleep Bleep won the Royal Rumble.
Bleep Bleep?
Bleep Bleep.
God, what an epic winner.
Yes.
Bleep Bleep.
Bleep Bleep. Who's Bleep Bleep? Well, you'll just have to stay tuned to find out. But first, it's time for news, because this has been jam-packed, because there's been a couple things that happened. First, at the Royal Rumble, as we'll be talking about. Of course, AJ Styles made his debut. And like I said, we'll be talking about that in a little bit when we review the Rumble. But the reason I'm bringing it up here is I just would like to say, for the record, and I do have Mike Schell here to back this up, and Shindiger, I fucking called it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I called it 6 months ago. People called me crazy. AJ Styles never come to WWE. I also believe I called Sami Zayn coming back at the Royal Rumble. But the only thing that didn't happen was Daniel Bryan returning.
I was still waiting for Shinsuke Nakamura to come in and give boom ayes to everyone.
The news about Daniel Bryan, he has actually been cleared by a third doctor now, and now it's in the hands of Vince McMahon. And at this point, I think it's really official that the reason he hasn't been brought back yet is because of the pending legal litigation that WWE is going through right now. It's pretty much made official by now, by their inability to have him back on. Though, it also could just be that, and I think I made this point on Riftdown, Mike Shaw, you can verify this, that they may not have anything to put him in, and they're maybe just waiting till after WrestleMania to bring him back.
At this point, probably seeing that should be the most likely case.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's a more likely case. Because I know there's people saying, like, well, you could have him wrestle this, but like you're having him first come back. You know what? It's better to build stuff up.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping it's just that they don't want to bring him back right now. But there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Mike Shell, I think you brought up. Well, let's move on to Lucha Underground. Lucha Underground had its first episode. We'll get to Cornette's.
Yeah.
A dumb mouth.
Do we have to?
Well, apparently it made news, according to Mike Schell.
Yeah.
So, Lucha Underground, Episode 1, what did you guys think?
Holy shit. Oh.
Go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
I was about to say, the opening scene in and of itself, holy shit, what a ride.
Shin?
What can you say? It's Lucha fucking Underground. I mean, it expands the first episode already gave you exactly what you wanted. It gave you something of a resolution with Vampiro's storyline, as well as who's running the temple and what happened to Dario Cueto. But my favorite part, of course, is the return of my boy, Mr. Pentagon Jr.
And he starts with breaking arms.
Breaking arms, taking names. Zero Mero.
I have yet to actually see the full episode. I've only seen highlights of it. But I heard that the Ferreira King Coolio, not Coolio.
Cuero.
Cuero, thank you. I heard they had a really good match.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yes.
Triple Threat was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, again, Lucha Underground having a women challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is how you promote your women.
And they made it believable that she could possibly beat Mil Muertes.
Yes. Yes. Of course, she ended up getting saved by Prince Puma.
Yep.
And then, of course, Pentagon Jr. came out and made everything awesome. Yep. And the look, by the way, on Vampiro's face when he came out.
There's a story there, and I can't wait to hear what the story is.
Yeah.
More than likely, Mike Schell is going to figure it out in, like, 3 more episodes. Because, let's be honest, Mike Schell's the one who called Vampiro being the master.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone called Vampiro being the master.
Well, the first one I heard it from was Mike, so I'm giving him the credit.
Okay.
Speaking of Lucha Underground, 2 more other pieces of news. One, Jim Cornette opened his big, dumb, stupid mouth, to quote John Cena.
Yeah.
Now, what officially did he say, basically, Mike Schell? Because you're the one who brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I do have, if you can... check links in the chat here. I'll give you a picture of exactly what he said.
All right, let's take a look at it.
Well, I can't see it. Why don't you just read that?
Okay, well, basically, his first line is, this fucking Lucha Underground is horseshit.
Oh,
the most
my
heinous
God.
Horseshit I've ever seen in my life. Now, I will give it now, I will say the production is incredible. It looks like Scorsese directed it. Cinematography is wonderful. Looks like a John Ford Western. Whatever the fuck.
Come on, you gotta do the voice. You gotta do the voice.
I'm not good with the voice.
All right. Hold on. let me give it a try. Let me give it a try. This fucking Lucha Underground horse shit. This is the most heinous horse shit I've ever seen in my life. We joked off air and said I'd probably like the match, but I wouldn't like the concept of the show because it has riders. I didn't like nothing. This is an embarrassment to anything that can be I could even dream of. It's a TV show. It's a movie. It's not wrestling. It's not sport. There's no presence to even make an attempt at this shit believable. The production is incredible. Looks like Scorsese directed it. The cinematography is wonderful. Looks like a John Ford Western, whatever the fuck that is. I can't say enough about the production. And it's another nail in the coffin of wrestling to be being taken seriously as a sport or anything that's completely predetermined. There's nobody on the face of this planet that can watch this shit and believe it has any legitimacy to it whatsoever. It shouldn't even be called pro wrestling. It's a movie. And blah, 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 wrestling was better with me in it. And blah, 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 I'm sucking my own dick, kissing my own ass. Blah, 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 I'm Jim Cornette, and everything sucks. I'm great. That's it. Vince, kiss my ass. Fuck this show, is what he said.
Yeah.
Is it sad that the thing that pissed me off the most is that he dissed John Ford? Because, you know, John Ford has 4 Oscars, by the way. Not that the Oscars are the be-all, end-all. I mean, Ben Affleck has 2 fucking Oscars.
Yeah, well, I mean, he earned one of them.
Well, one of them, yeah. The last one. The one before did earn fucking shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and also in Lucha Underground news, apparently, it's not that far into Season 2, and already, apparently, Lucha Underground and Rey Mysterio are having creative and financial difficulties.
Oh, Lord.
Like Alberto.
Jesus.
This is what well, to be fair, this is what happens when you're dealing with somebody who comes from the WWE system, where they made it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
It's that the expectation, like, I'm going to go to Independence, and I'm going to be like a megastar. Like, and they get there, like, what is this shit? So unprofessional.
Yeah, that only works with ADR. Because ADR actually got over in the Independence.
Are you saying Ray doesn't?
But I haven't really heard that much about Ray. That could be just because I don't really follow a lot of the Independence as much as I should, but I really haven't heard thing one about how awesome Rey Mysterio is in the Independence.
Oh, I heard his match with AJ Styles was great, but that wasn't televised. That was during a live event. And really the only big televised match that he had was against Bocchara. And by the way, I know he has a different name. No, he will forever be known as Bocchara until he stops botching.
Yep.
Which will be never. So his match with Bocchara, which looked absolutely fucking horrible. So, there is that. That brings us to our last piece of news, which me and Mike Shell will start, and when Shin comes back, he'll jump into it, because I know he wants to talk about this, and that is that news so big that WWE said fuck it, even though it's not going to air for a month and a half, we still have to talk about it. Shinsuke Nakamura is coming to WWE and NXT. And not only that, as part of the spoilers of the taping, basically the whole card for NXT TakeOver Dallas has been revealed. First off, Mike Shell, the news of Shinsuke being in the WWE in NXT.
I've just got one word for that. Yo!
And I'm just trying to bring up the card. I'll try to go off memory. Let's see. First in the Indie Star versus Indie Killer match, we have Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin. We then have for the Tag Team Championships, we have Dash and Dawson versus the American Alphas. Which, by the way, if you don't want to be spoiled by this, I apologize. Just jump ahead. Hopefully you already did that. for the Women's Championship match, we have Bayley defending against Asuka.
Ooh.
In the We're Gonna Tear the Fans Apart match with their loyalties. For the WWE Championship, we have Finn Balor defending against Samoa Joe. And in the holy fucking shit, this match is holy fucking shit happening. Holy fucking shit. There's not enough pants, condoms, or hookers to contain the cum match. We have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami Zayn, as at the taping, Shinsuke Nakamura, like I said, was announced, and that's ultimately what happened, that he will be facing Sami fucking Zayn in what is more than likely going to be match of the fucking year.
Yeah. And did you also mention Apollo Crews versus Elias Sampson?
Is that going to be a part of it?
That's a part of it as well.
Oh, because we are pushing Elias Sampson, even though nobody likes him. So what do you think of the card?
Great card. I hate wondering what the B show is going to be this year.
As in, like, the what's going to be pretty show, which is going to be showed the next week on NXT?
No, I mean WrestleMania.
Oh. Oh. That's not fair. That's a low blow.
Well,
and I say that I think we know two parts of what's going to come with WrestleMania. One is Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar, and the other is more than likely going to be Roman Reigns versus Triple H, unless they pull a switcheroo and have it be Dean Ambrose.
I'd like to see it to be Dean.
I think at this point everybody would, and that, you know, I think everybody would give a hand to WWE if they did that. And the question is, then, who do you have Roman Reigns face? Do you have him face The Undertaker? Because you think he was booed at the Rumble. But yeah, oh my god, this is a great... First of all, we're more than likely going to see the American Alphas win, which is going to be great, because they have been on fire. Asuka versus Bayley.
Oh.
That fan base is going to be split right down the middle.
Yeah.
The question is, who do you make heel in that? I mean, I think it's obvious it's Asuka, but I don't have a feeling she's going to be that traditional, I'm going to do stuff to make you hate me heel. I'm just going to beat up your beloved
hero
cleanly, and that's how she'll be heel. Because they haven't been having her do much talking. I have a feeling Samoa Joe's going to win the title in this match. And that will probably set up Balor coming up at some point.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it'll be very interesting to see Austin Aries wrestle.
Corbin versus Aries. That's...
It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
I think only Aries has had one match. So it'll be only his second match, on, at least on TV. So that will be interesting. The other interesting thing that I'm really looking forward to NXT is some of the new signed guys are starting to appear, like Rich Swann, Chris Gerardo, which is Biff Buziak. So we're starting to see those guys come as well. Did you see Rich Swann's match?
Not yet.
His match with Baron Corbin was very good.
Definitely have to watch some NXT tomorrow. Just to get caught up in all this, because it's... I'm still just blown away by Nakamura versus Zayn.
Like I said, there's not enough pants, enough condoms, or hookers to put all the cup in. I'm gonna be like Count Jacula and Horror Guru, like with the hookers in the trunk or something. It's gonna be like 5-story stack.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Shin, now you're back. We moved on to talk about Shin Tiger. Not Shin Tiger. Yeah, Shin Tiger Curl is making his debut in the WWE.
Oh, really?
To talk about, yeah.
I like that guy.
We were talking about Shinsuke Nakamura being announced and, of course, the entire NXT TakeOver card. Which, have you seen the card?
I have not seen the card.
So the card is Eliza Sampson versus Apollo Crews.
Okay.
In the Indie Star versus Indie Killer match, you have Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin. For the tag championships, we have Dash and Dawson versus American Alpha.
Sorry, my brain just aneurysm out of sheer awesomeness.
On which match?
Dash and Dawson versus the
American Alpha,
yeah.
Or better known as Gable and Jordan.
Yeah.
In the we're going to tear the fucking crowd's hearts out and split them right down the middle match, Bayley versus Asuka for the women's title.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, I got something awesome stuck in my ear. I thought you said Bayley was going to face Asuka.
I did, for the women's title. And our first orgasm of the night, ladies and gentlemen. In a rematch for the NXT World Championship, we have Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe. And in the holy fucking shit, there is not enough pants, condoms, or hookers to contain the flow of cum match, we have Shinsuke Nakamura versus Sami fucking Zayn.
Oh my god, that sounds so good, and I haven't even watched the fucking matches yet.
Let's see. More orgasm-inducing than Orgasmo.
More orgasm-inducing than a porn film.
I'm sorry, Vince. I'm sorry, but you're going to get fucked WrestleMania weekend. Your son-in-law is going to bend you over a table and fuck
you. Hey. It's like Triple H said in Raw. One way or another, I win.
No wonder he was looking at Vince when he said that.
He's gonna kill God. That's why. So, can we pretty much pencil in NXT TakeOver Dallas as pay-per-view of the year?
I hate to
just hit contender for it.
I hate to associate anything best of the year with Dallas, but
yeah,
I gotta say that's a pretty stank ass card.
Well, the thing is, you can make it to it.
Yeah, but that would mean going to Dallas.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a toss-up between my love of NXT and my loathing hatred of Dallas. NXT, Dallas, NXT. Don't make me pick!
You're telling me you would pick not going to Dallas over Shinsuke Nakamura?
You have to realize something. As much as Shinsuke Nakamura is awesome, Dallas is to suck.
You're telling me Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't have enough swag to out-suck Dallas?
You'd be surprised how much suckage Dallas can accumulate in a single day.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Austin Aries, and American Alphas, Asuka and Bayley, can't suck the suck out of Dallas?
Okay. Maybe if they moved it, like, to a subdivision of Dallas, I would go.
And you call yourself a fan.
I'm sorry, just... Dallas.
Dallas. I mean, fuck. You have to make it... They sacrificed their bodies for you. You can't do the same for them?
Yeah, but... I want to at least make it out of Dallas. I don't want to be stuck in that black hole of douchebaggery and assholery that is Dallas, Texas.
Look, Shen. What would Raccoon do?
Raccoon would powerbomb Dallas into oblivion.
That would fall to Houston, which is a much better town.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, not going to Houston, but while we were on the, since we're sort of ending on a sort of kind of sad note on Shin's inability to go to Dallas, let's move on to our next segment. I'm going to take a play of some music, even though it didn't have an official song. But when we come back, we're going to get into Royal Rumble 2016. Get ready to fly. And welcome back in the court. It is time to talk about the Royal 2016 Royal Rumble match. I have a card here, and we are going to talk about it, which I think we can all say so much better than the past two Royal Rumbles.
Incredibly so, yes.
Yes.
It did not end in a riot. That is the least I can say about this Royal Rumble.
Well, that's a step in the right direction, and leave it at that. First, Matt, we have our pre-show match. We have Mark Henry and Jack Swagger versus Darren Young and Damian Sandow. Yes, we have a Damian Sandow appearance.
Sizzle!
Versus the Dudley Boys versus the Ascension in a fatal four-way tag match to qualify for the Royal Rumble match. Surprise, surprise, Mark Henry and Jack Swagger win.
Hmm.
Or at least I thought it was a surprise. I was hoping they would give it to Darren Young and Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
I really wanted them to give it to Sizzle and Darren, but then that would mean that I would have to watch Sizzle get eliminated in probably some stupid-ass fashion, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
They were kind of botchy at the end.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But that's why it was a pre-show match. Something that wasn't botchy was the opening segment of the goddamn pay-per-view, that being Dean Ambrose defending his WWE Intercontinental Championship against Kevin Owens in a last-man-standing match.
Truly was Jon Moxley versus Kevin Steen.
Exactly.
Yes, it was.
Been saying that for weeks now.
All I can say is we actually had a goddamn chair shot to the head.
Yep.
Holy shit.
They beat the shit out of each other, and we enjoyed every single minute, savage minute of it.
It was the first of two great Last Man Standing matches I have watched this week. The other one we will be talking about later. I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I liked the psychology they had. I think sometimes they stood up a bit too quickly. Like Dean Ambrose, there was one time where he had the when the count got to 8, he was still down, and he jumps up.
Yeah.
It's like, and I understand it's his character, but at the same time, it's like, really?
I attribute that to his Wolverine level of mutant healing. I'm telling you, Dean Ambrose is a fucking mutant.
He must be. Yeah. And would you say it's more than Deadpool?
You know what? Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's more Deadpool.
I mean, he can take punishment. He breaks the fourth wall. He's funny. He loves titties. He's Deadpool.
Yeah. He's Deadpool.
And I do love the psychology. And like I said, I love the setup. And like when Owens was setting up the two tables, like, okay, I know somebody's going through this. It's just like, who is? And you knew whoever went through it was gonna, that was gonna be the end of the match. And I love how they beautifully built up to it.
Yeah, and kudos to Kevin Owens for talking some shit to that heckler in the front row.
Oh, there is a reason why Kevin Owens is one of the best in the WWE.
Exactly.
That's why.
Yeah.
Our next match was for the WWE Tag Team Championships as the New Day of Big E and Kofi Kingston with Xavier Woods and Francesca II faced the Usos of Jimmy and Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
This was an enjoyable match.
Yeah.
Xavier was great on the outside, like when the fans were chanting for Francesca, oh no, I'm not giving it to you. I'm not giving it to you. I do it when I wanna.
Was I the only one strangely creeped out by the way he was kissing Francesca II just before the match?
I think that was the point.
Like Xavier, you want to keep it PG? This is PG, remember? PG?
Well, he unfortunately Francesca too was getting his llama penis hard.
llama penis. It's certainly better than Rudy Tootie Booty. I'm sorry, Jericho, but I gotta go with llama penis.
No, just to break off a little bit, no, Rock's shiny moment of that night was at the back with Big Show. That was like, goddamn, you, Big Show, just throw your hand out, please, just knock him out.
Yeah, but it still wouldn't it still wouldn't change anything.
I think the best part about the match though was the ending, that goddamn interception.
Yeah,
goddamn. That was a great show of strength by Big E. One thing I like about the matches with New Day is, in particular with the pay-per-view, they find out a way to showcase Big E's strength. Mm-hmm. And by strength, I mean, like, his actual strength. And how fucking scary it is.
Yep.
And that was a beautiful way to do it.
Yep. Although, at this point, I'm a little scared that they might actually start getting burnt out on Usos versus New Day. I mean, how many times have we seen it up until this point? But, I mean, it wasn't a bad match. It's just, it's getting to the, okay, we've seen it all. It was good. Can you move on to something else?
That will all change when, you know, after No Way Out, when Enzo and Big Cass make their debut and challenge them at WrestleMania.
Oh, God, that would be so
nice. Not that I know that's going to happen. I'm just hoping that happens.
Enzo and Cass, they are awesome to see live. I managed to actually get a chance to do that.
I mean, just imagine the promos between New Day and Enzo and Cass.
Yes.
Oh my God. Getting hard just thinking about it.
Put your llama penis away.
Okay. Gotta put it away.
Our next match is for the WWE United States Championship. We have Kalisto versus Alberto Del Rio, the champion. Although a bit botchy, I thought it was a really good match.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I wish Alberto didn't move so Kalisto could have hit that sunset flip bomb that he was going for and not be dropped on his goddamn freaking neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Towards the end, it got botchy, but I'm willing to forgive it after that point because you're not going to be in your right mind after you get spiked in your head like that.
Yeah. I could definitely forgive it after that. But to me, this is why I harp on Alberto Del Rio for the botches, because the botches are all about his placement. If you understand what they're supposed to be doing, he's just supposed to stay there. He moved. That's why he ended up missing it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I do like the ending. I do like the whole build up to the ending and the storytelling of it. You know, Alberto, again, second time, a villain sets something up and it backfires on him of the night. Of course, this happened to
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, with the two tables. Here, Alberto unwraps the corner thing and in a kind of botchy, though forgivable, Hurricane Rana, Kalisto counters him into it and then hits Selena Del Sol.
Mm-hmm.
Though I find it interesting on Raw, or it was SmackDown, where they showed that, and they showed the first one and acted like that's where he got the pinfall. I guess they didn't want to show Alberto hitting his head. But yeah, they're starting to show Kalisto hit that Selena Del Sol out of nowhere, which I like.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to see something a move like that out of nowhere.
And also, the United States champion is Kalisto. So they're not burying him.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's just
hope and by the way, oh, go ahead.
I was about to say, let's just hope that's the fact after his partner comes back.
And hope he doesn't injure himself again.
Last match before the Rumble, we have for the WWE Divas Championship, Charlotte with Ric Flair versus Becky Lynch. Thoughts, gentlemen?
You can go first, Mike.
Like I said, I enjoyed the match. It was for seeing two competent diva wrestlers actually putting on a good match. And then, of course, Flair had to bump in and steal a kiss from Becky to throw her off. But other than that, I enjoyed it.
I'm going to parrot what Alpha Omega Sin said in his review of the event. And he said it was a good match, but for me, Flair does nothing for his daughter out there. I mean, I like the match in and of itself, but Flair does not need to be out there. I know you're trying hard for your daughter, Rick, but you don't need to be out there. If you've watched NXT, you know that Charlotte can and has gotten over as a face and as a heel without her father or her father's name. So it was a good match. It just didn't need Rick out there.
Yeah.
I'm sort of going to parrot that. I'm also going to parrot whatculture.com. So go see both of his Royal Rumble review videos. One drunk, one not. He feels ashamed for the drunk one. Like, I want to say, dude, it was hilarious. It was enjoyable. I guess he really did go through with the Royal Rumble tricky game.
Oh, Lord, no.
But no, it was a really good match. I enjoyed the psychology. Becky Lynch looked awesome out there. And it was a great wrestling match. The only problem I have with it is the kiss. And it was just creepy and uncomfortable, which I understand that's the point, but it was even more creepy and uncomfortable. It just was.
I'll say, you're making Katie Vick look good with that kiss.
I mean, I understand he's a kiss-stealing son of a gun. It's in the name, but damn. Y'all just felt uncomfortable there. It was like watching Sonny's porn video.
Please, Mattis, I'm eating. I don't want to throw up these nuggets and burger. Please.
So last, we have the 30-man Royal Rumble match for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which went 1 hour, 1 minute, and 44 seconds. So let me go down the list of names by order they entered.
Yes.
Number 1, Roman Reigns. Number 2, Rusev. Number 3, AJ fucking Styles.
And the roof blew off the building.
Yes.
And the internet obliterated itself.
Yes. Number 4, Tyler Breeze. Number 5, Curtis Axel.
Finally, Curtis Axel makes it into the ref, into the Rumble.
The chains were unleashed, and he set the record for the longest Royal Rumble with 356 days and, I don't know what time after that. I know it was 356 days. Yeah. Number 6, Chris Jericho. Number 7, Kane. Number 8, Goldust. Number 9, Ryback. Number 10, Kofi Kingston. We'll get to how his big Rumble save in a second.
Right.
Number 11, Titus O'Neil. Number 12, R-Truth, who thought it was the Money in the Bank ladder match. We'll get to that. Number 13, Luke Harper. Number 14, Stardust. Number 15, Big Show. Number 16, Neville. Number 17, Braun Strowman. Number 18, dragging himself out like a fucking hero, Kevin fucking Owens. At number 19, Dean Ambrose. At number 20, returning, Sami Zayn. And the roof blew off again.
Yep, and the internet blew up again.
Yep. And I just smiled and said, called it. Number 21, Eric Rowan. Number 22, Mark Henry. Number 23, Brock Lesnar. Number 25, The Miz, who was actually one of the smartest people in the Rumble.
Exactly.
Yep.
Go figure. Number 26, Alberto Del Rio. Number 27, Bray Wyatt. Number 28, Dolph Ziggler. Number 29, Sheamus. And at number 30, Triple H, who ends up winning it. After spending 8 minutes and 5 seconds, the longest entry was obviously Roman Reigns, who lasted 59 minutes and 50 seconds, though part of that was in the back due to injury. We'll get to that.
No.
So outside of him, the second longest was, I believe, Chris Jericho, who went 50 minutes and 50 seconds. Let's see. I think Roman Reigns, 1, 2. He had 4. He had 5. 2. I guess the most eliminations was by like the Wyatt family as a whole.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
So if you had them all together. So guys, who do you want to start off with first?
Who else? AJ fucking Styles.
The sad part is, like, when they started the match, I really had to go to the bathroom, so, like, I kept the door open. It's like, gotta pee. I got 90 seconds to pee. I guess number 3 spot's turning into a big spot, because last year, number 3 was the return of Bubba Ray Dudley.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that I didn't, like, I like the, ended up a couple days later showing the, like, unused cut of it, which I liked a whole lot better. I mean, I get why they did the shot the way they did, but it's like, I wish they would have used the other shot to show the fans in the actual video screen. But, yeah, like, you're sitting there and you hear the music that you never heard of before, and, like, could it be? And then you could feel everybody, like, on the edge of their seats, and then you hear the rumble of the crowd. Oh. It's like, Is it? And there he is. And it's like, and give it up to Michael Cole, Brian Saxton, and JBL. They fucking sold him.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If Michael Cole would be more like this, we wouldn't have a problem with him.
Yeah. And hell, I spent the next day looking at people's various reactions to AJ Styles coming out, and they're all... I probably mirrored their reactions when first you hear the theme music, you're like, wait, who is this? And then you hear the crowd getting roared up, and then you see, like, slow realization. Then, as the sickness go along, that realization turns into hope. And then when he comes out, hope turns into, oh, my fucking God, marking out moment of the year. I kid you not, as soon as he came out, I suplexed my pillow onto my bed.
Now, which type of suplex was it? Was it a belly-to-belly?
It was straight-up German.
Whichever. What other type of suplex would it be?
It was straight-up German. Like, oh, my God, it's AJ Styles.
No, wait, actually. Now, how could you tell you were behind the pillow? You could have been facing front. That would make it a belly-to-belly.
As soon as he came out on the, and when he was shown by the camera, not the build up to it, like when he came out behind the curtain and like and you saw him with the hood over his head and his arm stretched out, then I knew it was AJ Styles. And then pillow suplex city.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you know you were behind the pillow?
I don't know. All I remember was it's lost. It's lost in a haze of marking out.
I'm just messing with you. But there is two things to talk about. One, AJ Styles actually eliminated a couple guys. He had technically two eliminations, Tyler Breeze and Curtis Axel. He lasted a pretty long time at 27 minutes, 53 seconds, and he was eliminated by Kevin Owens. And that fits into three things I wanted to see when he came out was, would he last a long time? Would he actually eliminate anybody? And would the person who would ultimately, because you knew he wasn't going to win.
Yeah.
But would the person who would eliminate him, would he be like, if it was Big Show or Kane, people would have been rioting. But because it was somebody big like Kevin Owens, the fans could get behind, it's like, yeah. Oh, okay.
And that, and the meeting of Kevin Owens and AJ, once Kevin hit the ring,
the crowd went fucking nuts.
Yes,
it's like, this is actually happening.
Yeah, man.
And there was white stuff all over the floor.
and I, man, like I said, I was happy. Not only was I not mad that AJ got eliminated, I was happy that he got eliminated by Kevin Owens. I'm like, oh my God, are they gonna? Is it Kevin Owens, AJ? Would they wrestle ring soon? and things like so it just set up so much possibilities.
I'm just happy that it wasn't that he got eliminated by Big Show.
Yeah.
We'll come back to Roman Reigns and we'll come back to Triple H at the end. Let's go to sort of the next bit. Tyler Breeze, I thought, had a good opening, even though he was in there for 1 minute. He looked really good. The beauty shot he hit on AJ was wicked.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Yes. Next, we want Kofi Kingston. Only in there for about 8 minutes, but his big thing is he landed on Big E, who caught him, and he rode about Big E's shoulders. Eating popcorn, drinking soda. And then he tried to get in, and Chris Jericho drop-kicked him.
He did his job, which was have an entertaining save. So, yeah.
Yep. It was funny. But actually, maybe one of the moments of the night for me, number 12, R-Truth, comes to the ring, brings out a fucking ladder, and everybody's looking like, what the fuck are you doing? And he comes out, it's like, and you literally, and I find it's like, oh, he's looking for a championship. Like, did nobody hear him say, where's the briefcase? It's like, oh, my bad. it's just like, and then Kane, like, drops him down and eliminates him, and it's like.
If it were anyone else, I would say this was terrible. But since it's R-Truth, I couldn't help but laugh.
Yeah. Let's see. 18, of course, Kevin Owens, he comes out, gets an elimination on with a beautiful sweet kick of AJ Styles. Right after him is Dean Ambrose. The next two entries were not good for Kevin Owens. And they fight.
And then, of course, the big shocker at number 20, here comes Sami Zayn. And the way they did it is, like, he's facing away, the music hits, you can see him in the ring slowly turn around, and people are losing their mind, and he's looking, Zayn's looking straight at him, he then runs and hits the ring, and they just start, like, and that crowd lost it. They were losing their fucking mind because Sami Zayn's music was playing, and then they lost it for a second time in the matter of 30 seconds when they started going at it.
Yeah.
That, by the way, that was an NXT crowd that was in Orlando, I'm just saying.
Yeah. That was the right crowd for the right moments.
Brock Lesnar, who had 4 eliminations, mostly the
Wyatts.
White family. Now, I will say this. I love how he was eliminated, and I'll bring Bray Wyatt into this. How, again, they get eliminated, and when Wyatt gets to the ring, brings the family back, and they just, like, they don't give a fuck about the rules and just eliminate him. And it did my heart good to see that, like, the beast, like, downfall, and, like, he was about to cry.
Brock Lesnar does not cry. He just allows water to escape his eyes.
Either whatever you want to call it, it made my heart good. And, like, I love you, Bray Wyatt. Please let me join the Wyatt family.
First you gotta grow a beard.
Number 25, The Miz, with one of the best lines of the night. I'll turn Suplex City into Miznyland.
he needs to make a shirt of that.
Yes, he does. Like, see, Miz, you can be funny when you want to. Anyway, like, and you know what? I love the psychology of his character of waiting. Like, I think he, like, waited at least 5 minutes until the ring got cleared.
He waited, specifically, he waited for Brock to get eliminated. Then he was in there.
Yeah.
Just smart.
Now, bring something up. Around, I would say, when Big Show came in, or right after Neville, whatever, at some point in that area, League of Nations had attacked Roman Reigns, and we're getting to Roman Reigns and Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
And they eliminated, and he got sent, brought to the back. And around the time that Sheamus came out, as Sheamus was coming out, he jumped Sheamus, gave him a Superman punch, and re-entered the Rumble. And, of course, then countdown number 30, and there was Triple H. So how did you guys... Because I know there's some people who didn't like the way Roman was presented in the Rumble. I actually don't have a problem with it. Some people say they felt like he was a coward, and they, like, compare him with Kevin Owens, but I think it's two different situations.
Like... Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin Owens was dragging himself to the ring after a brutal last man standing, but he had at least an hour to, like, rest.
Yeah, same with Dean.
Yeah, whereas with Roman, he was attacked during the Rumble, and it was probably, like, he had, at kayfabe, as Story was telling it, he had to be brought back to the back, and probably it was only once they finally allowed him to be cleared that he'd just come back.
Yeah, but... Yeah. It just didn't feel like it didn't do him any favors. Like, kayfabe wise, we know that they took him to the back, but out of kayfabe, it just feels like they were letting him rest for a good long period. But if he had stayed in the ring after he got the crap beaten out of him, then the fans wouldn't have turned on him so much. But
yeah. It is a matter, that's how I'm seeing it. It's like, no matter what you did with him after that moment, there would have been no way for him to win, because no one would believe he could stay in the Rumble after that, because somebody would have probably just eliminated him after he threw him back in the ring.
So, yeah, it wasn't needed. I mean, they could have just, Dean Ambrose got the crowd on his side, because not only did he fight a hellacious last man standing match with Kevin fucking Owens of all people, but he lasted to the last two. And people got behind him because, hey, this son of a bitch is still swinging as hard as he did at the start of the show, and he's all beat the fuck up. So that kind of makes Roman look bad by comparison.
Yeah, yeah. I think it just showcases that the attack with the League of Nations wasn't needed, and it actually hurt Roman more than and it helped him in the match.
Yeah, so I question the logic and of this booking choice of this particular incident part of the Rumble. That's the only downside of the entire Rumble that I can see as a whole.
And the thing is, I don't think that's Roman Reigns' fault. That's booking, and that's more League of Nations.
Yeah, I'm not blaming Roman at all. I'm blaming booking.
And I think it's because again, it's like I was listening to JR, and JR's asking like, why are they booing Roman Reigns? Because like, he does everything right. It was no more than like 2 weeks ago we were cheering for him. It's like I wish fans would be. Are we gonna cheer him now, or are we gonna boo him?
My theory on it is, we don't know who Roman Reigns is right now.
Yeah.
Because go ahead, Mike.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh.
I was going to say, he's still playing the same character he was playing in the Shield.
Exactly. He wears the same outfit as he was in the Shield, has the same theme music, same catchphrase, same entrance, same outfit, same everything. We don't know who Roman Reigns is. We know who Dean Ambrose is. He is a crazy fucking titty master who can take the most badass beatings and pop right back up like fucking Deadpool. We know who Seth...
Or as I like to call him, McFoley 2.
McFoley 2, exactly. We know who Seth Rollins is. He's the fucking architect, the guy who sold out, who also puts on hella bust-ass matches. But
yes.
Roman Reigns, we don't know who you are. So how can we cheer you?
I know who he is. He's just... He's a badass motherfucker who's tired of getting, you know, screwed.
I was screwed.
And I think maybe that's why people started to get behind him, because he's just like, fuck it, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, and and you gotta believe me. And I was in the Royal Rumble. I almost won. I'm eating cookie right now.
Well, don't worry, Roman. You'll win it back at WrestleMania.
Will I have cookies?
Yes. Well, you'll just hold the cookie tour till SummerSlam when John Cena comes back for his 16th title reign.
Oh, okay.
But, of course, your winner was Triple H. I think a lot of people called it.
Indeed.
Yep. So, overall, your thoughts for this past year's Royal Rumble?
Go ahead, Mike.
The Rumble was a great start. Well, just to give it the same, definitely would, I call it Night of Champions 1 of this year. But, since every title was on the line, but I enjoyed it. Like I said, I believe the same reading I gave on the WrestleCast is this was a 4 out of 5.
Well, I'd say this, as I've said before we started this, didn't end in a riot, so it had that going for it. But we had all the titles on the line. They all felt important enough. I mean, the Intercontinental title felt important enough for two men to beat the shit out of each other over. The tag titles are being represented excellently by the face of the division, the New Day. The Kalisto makes a great United States champion. Charlotte continues to be a good champion despite what some naysayers say. I know who you are, and fuck you. And of course, the
Tito.
He said it, not me.
I'm sorry, did that come out?
Yeah. And the Rumble was full of surprises. Had some funny, great moments. Had some awesome moments. Mark out moments to be had aplenty. Do I even need to say AJ fucking Styles? And, of course, Triple H wins, which I have no problem with. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5.
I pretty much agree. It was really good Rumble. It was a really good pay-per-view. Like you said, parodying. All the titles felt important. That Last Man Standing match was like, it's definitely, to me, one of the top 3 Last Man Standing matches, at least in Rumble history. there'll be have to some, be something to discuss whether it's better than Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, which we'll be talking about a little bit later.
Yeah.
But it's right up there with Cena versus Umaga, which I think is like that's the benchmark for great last man standing matches. That was great. The tag match was fun and excellent and exciting. Kalisto winning was the right thing, and just again, it was great. Like yes, the women's match was great, and of course that Rumble was fun. It was great to sit there and have a fun Rumble again after two bad years of bad Rumbles. Sami Zayn and AJ Styles. Fuck yes. Fuck yes. And all I could do is just sit there and smile like, I'm so happy right now. And yes, part of that is because I fucking called and everybody called me crazy. Oh. Imagine if T-Dove had actually made the Eva Marie bet with me, like I wanted to.
His tongue would have rolled off his mouth in protest.
I wanted to make him the Sami Zayn bet like 6 months ago. He wouldn't take it. He won't make any bet with me.
Because he knows the consequences of such an action.
He knows the consequences. He sees what happened to Matty J.
And to this day, you can still smell Maddie's soul decomposing in his body.
Sorry, Maddie. So we're going to take a... We'll be right back. When we come back, I'm going to play some intro music. Because coming up next, it's time for our Raw retrospective look back. As it's I go back to the last Raw of January for 1990. And welcome back, and as you may notice, this is a previously recorded program. You know, like Raw was back in the day, so you won't hear Shin or Mike Schell. But it's time for us to look at the last Raw of January for 1998. And of course, this was the show that dealt with the fallout from last week's climactic ending in which Austin and Tyson got at it. Of course, the famed encounter where, you know, if you don't understand English, well, I got a bit of little sign language for you and double bird. This probably has been the best Raw I saw. There was a lot of good wrestling, actually, on this Raw. The opening match between Ken Shamrock and Mark Henry was actually pretty good. You had a actually really good match between Too Sexy Brian Christopher, who's just crazy. It's like, and mind you, they had the whole Lawler clan for that match, mind you, because Honky Tonk Man was the special ring announcer. Of course, Jerry was on commentary, and of course, you had Brian in the ring, and he was facing a light heavyweight by the name of Pantera, who I've never seen before. But it was a light heavyweight match to see the number one contender for Taki Michinoku's light heavyweight title. And, of course, the winner of that match would face him at No Way Out. Which, yes, we will be reviewing that in February. So, the whole clan out. It was actually a really, really fun match. It's like, it's not quite as good as what the Cruiserweights were doing on WCW. But it was definitely better than really the brawling tag matches that you were constantly seeing. Some other storylines, of course, with Mark Henry and Ken Shamrock, that was part of the whole build-up for Shamrock Ahmed Johnson and DOA, Disciples of Apocalypse, facing the Nation of Domination at No Way Out. So you had that ultimately broke down with Ken Shamrock, DOA, and Johnson getting the upper hand by clearing the ring of the Nation. You had the continuation of the NWA storyline, the whole Jim Cornette and his gang of former NWA, members now being the WWE, bringing NWA to the WWE, that they're going to bring back real wrestling, not sports entertainment, which some fans actually may like now. There was a line that actually kind of made it laugh where he's like, you know, this is the real NWA belt. Anybody else in the wrestling organization that says it traces their lineage back to Luis Estes and them are lying. It's like kind of a shot at WCW. I kind of found that funny. And that was an okay match. The match was Jeff Jarrett, the NWA champion, and the recently brought to their side Barry Windham versus the Legion of Doom, with them cheating to get the win. But the other really good match was Owen Hart versus Triple H, a.k.a. Hunter Hearst Helmsley. It was the main event for the European title. Of course, Hunter had said the week prior, I'm going to give you this match. Of course, surprise, surprise, not quite as it seemed, because who comes out, but not Hunter Hearst Helmsley, but Hunter Hearst Helms Dust, or Hunter Dust, or Triple H Dust. Whatever you want to call it. It's Gold Dust dressed as Triple H, with Luna dressed as China. And that was a pretty good match, and Owen Hart gets to win with a sharpshooter. We'll get back, because there's a storyline that also goes with this that I actually like and wish this would have been actually an ending instead of Stone Cold doing a promo, which, don't get me wrong, I like Stone Cold, but that's actually one of the weaker parts of the show this week, was Stone Cold. Now, he gave an absolutely terrific promo, but to end the show with the promo, I don't know if it was that good. It was a good promo, but it just wasn't good enough to end the show with. I felt they should have ended with the Owens Hunter Dust match, and maybe this should have been right before the main event. There were a couple of story segments, of course. I found it very funny, a lot of the DX segments this week. There's a part when, you know, they're talking about Tyson. It's like, Shawn Michaels going, yes, I'm the icon, the showstopper, or the living legend, the Antella. But I find it in my good heart that I think I should step aside and let Tyson and Austin face each other at Mania and not put up my title. And of course, Triple H say, but you can't show up. You're the icon. You're the showstopper. And of course, he ultimately says, like, what will I do? And he takes off, just like, I can't put my finger on it. And of course, he's wearing a referee. He's like, oh, I got it. I'll be the special guest referee. Which, oddly enough, is actually what ends up happening, except that it's Austin versus Michaels with Tyson as a special guest referee / enforcer. So that was funny. Another sort of fun match that wasn't a good wrestling match was, but still fun because of the participants, was you had Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie versus the New Age Outlaws. Of course, this feud would continue to WrestleMania with the famous dumpster match. But that was a fun match. Of course, it was fun to see the New Age Outlaws like, we need protection. So they come out in catcher's gear. I just found that funny. And for the most part, entertaining, and a lot of this was setting up stuff for the newly announced No Way Out. Of course, like I said, they set up the whole Disciples of Apocalypse, Shamrock and Johnson versus Nation Domination. Throughout the night, they were setting up the main event match, which was going to be Cactus Jack, Chainsaw Charlie, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Owen Hart versus DX and the New Age Outlaws. Goldust actually had a match earlier in the evening where he had a rematch against Vader. And right as Vader hit the Vader bomb and was about to pin him, out came Kane to set up Kane versus Vader at No Way Out. And of course, they sort of continue with like never released at that time footage of what happened after Royal Rumble went off the air. And they sort of previewed the whole Undertaker Kane storyline. They previewed one more storyline. There was one more storyline they sort of went into a preview of, and I can't remember it. Oh, that's right. They previewed Tachi Mikinuku right before the light heavyweight number one contender match. Oh, no, I actually thought this was a very enjoyable Raw. They set up a lot of storyline elements for No Way Out, and there were actually three kind of really good matches. Not that Vader and Goldust wasn't entertaining, but of the top three were definitely Owens versus Hunter Dust. By the way, this in no particular order. Owens versus Hunter Dust, Pantera versus Brian Christopher, Candice Shamrock versus Mark Henry. Of course, you also had Vader and Goldust that was fairly good, a bit short. So, all in all, a very enjoyable Raw. And next week, we start February. I wish I had the dates in front of me. But alas, it's so hard to find. Anyways, but next week, we continue down the road towards No Way Out as we start with our first Raw of February for 1998. With that being said, it is time to go back to our regularly scheduled programming featuring Shin Tiger Curly and Mike Schell as we go into our review of Royal Rumble 2004 from Philadelphia. And they are on the road to WrestleMania, or in this case, No Way Out. I mean, guys, a Raw with like Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack versus New Age Outlaws. You had Ken Shamrock versus Mark Henry. You had the whole fallout from Stone Cold fighting with Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that one.
Yes.
Yep.
And the formation of the DX Army.
Yep. So, on to our main review of the episode. Before I get to there, I realized something. I kind of forgot to give a rating for 2016 Royal Rumble. I apologize.
We forgive you.
Yep.
We'll
do you later.
Gushing. I was still gushing over the awesomeness of Sami Zayn and AJ Styles. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. It was really good. Very few bad things that keep it from being perfect, but all in all, just a really excellent pay-per-view. WWE is starting off strong. But with that, it's time to do our main review, which is Royal Rumble 2004.
Yeah.
Just to go over the sort of taglines, all the stuff. The promotional poster featured a young John Cena. The theme song, which you cannot hear on the WWE Network because of licensing fees, is Nothing Left to Lose by Puddle of Mud. Royal Rumble 2004, presented by the World Wrestling Entertainment Industry, featuring the brands of Raw and SmackDown, took place on January 25th, 2004, at the Wachovia Center in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on January 25th. Did I say it take place on January 25th, 2004?
Yes.
I did, I meant to say the attendance was 17,289. Your color commentators for Raw were Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler, and for SmackDown was Michael Cole and Taz, with the Royal Rumble being commentated by Taz and Jim Ross. So our first match of the evening, as I go down to it, where are you? Wikipedia. First on Sunday Night Heat, there was a match of Victoria defeating Molly Holly in a singles match.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't have Heat on the network, so fuck you, network. Our first official match of the evening was a tables match for the World Tag Team Championships, as Evolution, the current champions of Ric Flair and Batista, defended against the Dudley Boys. Mike, Michelle, yes. You want to go first?
About to say, great match between those two. I say, anytime you involve tables and Dudley's, awesomeness ensues.
Chin?
I gotta say, this was a pretty good match. Nothing overt, nothing spectacular, but nothing good. But a good way to get the crowd set up. Nice to see a young Drax the Destroyer out there, and a younger but somehow fatter Bubba Ray Dudley, which doesn't make sense. And also, the one thing I did like about it, other than the fact that it was a good match, is Jonathan Coachman coming out there, providing some interference, and then barely announcing that Evolution won the match. So, kind of makes me miss that piece of shit.
You realize it's only when they're gone do you realize how good they are.
Yeah.
I like again he was running interference, that ultimately leading to them winning the match. But I thought it was a solid match through and through. I like how like Dudley Boys had most of the control over it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like that spot at the end to where it's like, you know, get rid of Flair, get rid of all of them, and then D-Von turned around and there's Batista just had a snap spine buster that was to give us a preview of what would come years later.
Yep.
Or about a year later, I should say. Our next... But no, here's the thing. Like, most of the matches this evening were very short, actually.
Yeah.
This match was only 4 minutes and 23 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Our next match would only be 3 minutes and 12 seconds, and that is for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. We have Rey Mysterio versus Jamie Noel with, of course, his blind girlfriend, Nydia. Mike?
Jamie Noble, before he joined J&J Security. When he actually did matter, but all in all, it's
it was that forgettable.
It's been a while since I've seen this particular Rumble. But I did like the Tiger Faint kick that Mysterio pulled off, though.
619.
The 619.
Shin?
Like you said, it was very short, but I still have a soft spot in my heart for Jamie Noble, so it was a pretty okay match. Wish it went, if it was on another show and it went a little longer, I would think better of it, but otherwise it was pretty good, but like Mike's show is inferring, it's a bit forgettable.
I can understand how it's forgettable. And really what hurts this match is its time. It's really short. Even for a cruiserweight match,
yeah,
it's, like, not given enough time. And they did highlights, and then they ended it really quick. Of course, they were also pushing the storyline of Nydia being blind, and of course Jamie reading her the riot act and her costing him the championship. But it's like, this match could have used a lot more time.
And it's the failing of being a match that's not on the Rumble, in the Rumble itself, in the Rumble pay-per-view itself.
Yeah. Our next match, though, would be pretty good. Continuing a very good feud, you have Eddie Guerrero versus Chavo Guerrero, with Chavo Guerrero Sr. in a single match. I love the storytelling they told here. So, Mike, so you want to go first?
Yeah, it was great storytelling with that feud between Eddie and Chavo, and seeing Chavo Senior getting involved with the match as well. Of course Chavo trying to start dominating the match, and then Eddie pulls out the consecutive vertical suplexes, three amigos on Chavo.
Like, you know, here's how it's done. Like, Chavo starts up, no, Chavo. No, Chavito. Here's how you do it. Eddie, Chin.
Orale, Thomas, Mattis, Holmes, man. How'd you know I was here?
Just a guess.
Yeah. I like the way how the commentators mentioned that Eddie wanted to out wrestle Chavo instead of just kind of beat his ass. No, there was also a lot of psychology in this match that you could see so many emotions on both of their faces, and you don't even have to understand a damn word they were saying. You could see the cold fury in Eddie's eyes and just him trying to restrain it just so he could prove a point, like, I'm the better wrestler than you are, and I'm going to prove it by wrestling you under the tank. And after it was over, all those motions that he had just came out, and he just beat the shit out of Chavo in front of his brother, and his brother's like, that's your family, Eddie! Like, that's my family? Motherfucker! And he just started wailing on him, and for those...
Actually, I believe he called him his kid. Actually, that's your child, Eddie.
I think he said kin.
I could have sworn he said child, a kid.
No, kin.
He may have said kin. But...
It might have been kin, but...
I say that because they even talked about it on the commentary. Like, I could have sworn, I could have sworn I heard Chavo call him his kid.
Yep.
I guess they maybe wanted to try that Rey Mysterio story a bit too early.
All this time, his nephew, who was raised like his brother, is in actuality his son.
Yeah, I guess Eddie was potent even at five.
Yeah. For those of you who never had the pleasure of watching, of enjoying Eddie Guerrero when he was alive, this is why we love this man. This is why we consider him a saint among wrestlers. It wasn't just because he lied and cheated and stole. It wasn't because he was funny or gimmicky. It's because the fucker could wrestle.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's why I called him, at the time, one of WWE's wrestling trinity. Him, Kurt Angle, and Bleep Bleep.
Who's Bleep Bleep? Well, you'll find out in just a second.
You'll find out.
We'll but no, it's like, I agree with everything you just said, except for Bleep Bleep, but we'll get to that reason in a second. This was a really, really good wrestle match. The storytelling among it, with Chavo would just get the upper hand just for a second, and then Eddie would be like, no, Chavito, and then just turn it around. And every time you thought, okay, here's where Chavo's going to take control, Eddie would shut him down.
Yeah.
And just the way he completely dominated and out-wrestled Chavo, that was such beautiful storytelling. And then I now out-wrestled to prove you wrong. Now I'm going to beat the hell out of you. And it was such great storytelling. And that's the thing about it is, it was such a terrific wrestled match, and they told a story at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything Shin just said about him being part of that great trinity of the ruthless aggression era that we love. That's why.
Yeah.
I would call it more of the Mount Rushmore of the Ruthless Aggression era, which would have Eddie, Kurt, John Cena, and Bleep Bleep. But, yeah. So, next match would be for the WWE Championship as Brock, or should I say a young, I've yet to build Suplex City Lesnar.
Back when he was still mortal.
Yeah. Face off against Hardcore Holly for the WWE Championship. This was about 6 minutes 30 seconds, but it was hard hitting.
Yeah.
Anything, Oscar, to you, Mike Shell? You first?
About to say, you've got Hardcore Holly and Brock Lesnar. These two men can beat their opponent down to a nub, and they're just going at it.
Yeah.
You've got...
go ahead. I'm sorry.
You've got Lesnar stomping and suplexing away at Holly. Doing an Alabama slam and a full Nelson on Lesnar. They're just beating each other to hell.
Yeah. Chin?
What can you say? I mean, I have been a fan of Bob Holly since way before he was hardcore, back when he was Spark Plug Bob Holly. try looking that up. But yeah, this was just two really big, tough, brawny guys going super stiff on each other, just beating the crap out of each other, and it was just a joy to watch. I mean, and seeing a very young Brock Lesnar before he became the man god that we know him today was actually pretty interesting. That's why I like coming on this show with you, Mattis. It's always interesting to look back at the guys we see today, how they were so many years ago, and see how far they've come. And I enjoyed this match, and I thoroughly miss Hardcore Holly in the ring.
I do too. The story that I love that he told in this match was, and this is how I love the placement of this after the Eddie Guerrero match, was the talking like it's the same thing for Hardcore about controlling his emotions, and the difference between him and Eddie was Hardcore couldn't.
Yeah,
because he had Brock beat in the middle of the ring with an Alabama slam, but he wanted to continue punishment by trying to break his neck with the full Nelson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why he lost the match. So I love that storytelling aspect of it. Other than that, it's just a really stiff match.
Yeah.
Words of that. Our next match in these two men should be fucking dead.
Oh, yeah.
For the World Heavyweight Championship, a last man standing match between Triple H, the champion, and the challenger, Shawn Michaels. And goddamn.
Yeah.
See, this is why, like I said, Cena and Umaga, and I'm not saying Cena and Umaga is the best one just because it's Cena. I think we can pretty much all agree one of the best last man standing matches of all time is Cena versus Umaga at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Oh.
That being said, I think number two is a good toss-up between Dean and Owens, and this match between Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, goddamn. So, Mike Shaw, you want to go first?
I'd say it's Shawn Michaels versus Triple H, two best friends trying to beat the holy shit out of each other for the championship.
Is there anything of the match that you liked in particular?
As far as the match itself goes, about to say they just being an awesome match that they actually back in the time when you can actually get your opponent to bleed on screen, and they both bloodied themselves up pretty well.
The blood's my only problem, and not that I have a problem with the blood, but just the amount. It's like, how are these people still walking? They should be out just by blood loss. They weren't spilling pints, they were spilling gallons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chin?
What can you say, man? I mean, whenever Trips and Sean got in the ring back in the day, you knew it was going to be personal and you knew it was going to be brutal. These two men are closer than brothers in some respects. And this match just highlighted. There were these little moments where, like, the moment I picked out was Sean, after getting busted open like a stuck pig and kept getting up, and Triple H was just telling him, "Stay down! Stay down!" And he kept telling him to bring it on. And it was just so interesting. And I'd say this one edges out Owen Steen because of just how effing brutal it was with the blood and all.
Owen Steen?
Yes, Owen Steen. At times, Kevin Steen wrestled Kevin Owens in the Last Man Standing.
That's the epic match of all time.
Yeah, but
you mean Ambrose Owens.
Owens, yeah. It barely edges it out, because not just for the blood, but because of the history behind it. Like, Ambrose was good because they both have built up weeks of them just battling over this belt that they both really, really wanted. The Trips and HBK was built up over probably a lifetime of these two just being friends, and then it coming to this,
yes,
where they had to literally beat each other into puddles of blood and hair gel and and chaps and spandex in order to get one over on each other. So
now this Triple H saying stay down.
Like,
who have I heard that from before? He has an O name.
Owens.
I think his name's Owens.
You sure?
Kevin Owens, I think, is his name.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Triple H might like this guy a lot.
Yeah. Hey, Hunter, you need to look into this Kevin Owens guy. He could be something.
He sounds exactly like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's even got a best friend turned bitter rival, just like you.
Yeah.
No, I like it. I love the three distinct stages of this match. You had the opening stage where Sean had most of the control, then that middle part where he gets busted open and Triple H takes control, and then, of course, the build-up to the end where Michael starts coming back, he busts up Triple H, and then, of course, the way they built up to the super kick where it just, like, hit out of nowhere, that 1 second, that all it took, and then you think, oh, Sean's going to get up, but then he doesn't. It's like, wait, what? And it's a draw? It's like, got to give it up to WWE having the balls to go with that ending.
Yeah, I got to give it up to both Hunter and Sean for selling it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Because even after the match was over, they did not move for a long time. Like, they literally killed each other.
Now, do you think if this match had taken place now, like in Philadelphia, the fans will be saying, "We see you sleeping. We see you sleeping."
It depends on who it is. It depends on who actually does this. If it was something like Ambrose and Steen, yes, I said Steen. If it was them, I could see them appreciating it because of just how tough those two are. Or Owens and Zayn. they would, even if it ended in a fucking draw, they would give that match a standing fucking ovation.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
That brings us to the 30-man Royal Rumble match. Now, you've heard us say bleep bleep over the episode. Bleep bleep is Chris Benoit. You know, the guy we can't mention because he murdered his family.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Because heaven forbid we, you know, look at evidence or, you know, take any other idea why a man who, you know, seemed perfectly normal before would just kill his family. No, it's because he's an evil mastermind and a monster. politics aside, so Chris Benoit would win the Royal. Here's the rundown. We have number one was Chris Benoit. Number two was Randy Orton. Number three was Mark Henry. Number four was Tajiri. Number five was was Bradshaw before it came JBL.
Yep.
Number six was Rhino. Number seven was Matt. In about 10 years, I'm going to, or in 12 years, I'm going to become the TNA Live on Pop TV World Heavyweight Champion Hardy.
What's TNA?
At number eight, we have Scott, I got your hookup, Steiner. Number nine, we have Matt, the Carbon Footprint Morgan. At number 10, we have, what's up with that, the Hurricane.
His hurrah powers are for real.
At number 11, we have Mr. Shucky Ducky Quack Quack Booker T.
Keep Shucky Ducky, my quack quack. Why does he keep Shucky Ducky, my quack quack?
Because Shucky Ducky, quack quack.
Quack quack.
At number 12, we have the man who would become Boardroom Kane. At number 13, we have a sacrifice. It doesn't even make it in the Rumble. Spike Dudley.
Wait.
At number 14.
Spike Dudley didn't make it to the Rumble?
Yeah, he got attacked by Kane before he even entering.
So that means, technically, Spike Dudley's never been eliminated.
He got eliminated the next year.
So, Curtis Axel's tied for the longest run in the Royal Rumble.
Possibly. We'd have to see who let him longer. if Spike lasted more than a minute, then yeah, Spike has the record. At number 14, the man who pumps it up, Rikishi. At number 15, I'm a Frenchman, Rene Dupree. At number 16, the man who would be NXT coach, the A-Train.
A.K.A. Albert. A.K.A. Prince Albert. A.K.A. A of TNA. A.K.A. Great Bernard.
A.K.A. Sentai.
Tenzai. A.K.A. Tenzai. Sweet T. A.K.A. a billion other names this guy's gone under.
A.K.A. Please Shave Your Back. At number 17, we have Shelton X. Benjamin. At number 18, we have Ernest Somebody Call Your Mama. Somebody Call Your Mama. Miller. At number 19, we have another member of the Mount Rushmore of the Ruthless Aggression era, Kurt Angle.
Hmm.
At number 20, we have former Las Vegas police over that. Oh, you look so good to me, Rico. At number 21, after eliminating Tess in the back, we have God himself, Mick Foley. At number 2, we have the awesome one, Christian. At number 23, we have one of the smartest people in the match who would also become a sacrifice later, Nunzio. At number 24, we have the Big Slow, a.k.a. Rumble Runner-Up. At number 25, we have the former Undisputed Champ, Chris Jericho. At number 26, we have Damian Sandow before Damian Sandow, Charlie Haas. At number 27, we have the man who Billy Gunn's himself, Billy Gunn. At number 28, we have a young future king of the WWE and another member of Mount Rushmore of the Ruthless Aggression era, John, I'm actually getting cheered in Philadelphia, Cena.
Remember that?
Remember that? At number 29, At number 29, we have the man that smoked some Mary Jane in the back before the match, according to John Cena, Rob Van Dam. And at number 30, we have the former best Jew in the world, Bill Goldberg. Now, before we get into this, they did do a couple of segments in the back during the night that were all funny, in particular John Cena's.
Yeah.
And, of course, Goldberg's was funny. That, of course, all setting up what would happen later. So let's go down with some of our favorite moments. Mike?
About to say one of my... Well, of course, one of my favorites would be Goldberg just coming in and just laying waste to anything in his way.
Oh, poor Nunzio.
poor
Nunzio. He's like, you killed him, you bastard.
Stop, Goldberg. Nunzio. Stop. He's already
He's
dead.
He's already dead. Is that like the big one?
Yeah, that would be my big one.
Shin?
I have a couple, like, whatever. Maybe I wasn't the only one thinking this. I hope I wasn't the only one thinking this, but when Mark Henry came out, I thought, and he came out with Teddy Long, I instantly thought he was just going to get a mic and say, now hold on now, players. They have a Royal Rumble like this, so what they're going to do is have a 30-man tag team main event. Holla, holla. And I'm like, oh, and I think I remembered. Oh yeah, Mark did have this theme song for a while. But I just noticed a few things, like they had three members of the main event mafia in this Royal Rumble: Scott Steiner, Booker T, and Kurt Angle.
There are a couple of TNA guys that would be in here. Yeah. You have Matt Morgan. You have Matt Hardy.
Yep. And ironically, thankfully, we did not have Scott Steiner getting on the mic to do some Steiner math about his chances in the Royal Rumble.
Normally, when you go one-on-one with another man, you got a 50-50 chance of winning. But this is 30 men over the top rope battle royal, which means everybody got a 3.333333333% chance of winning. But I'm a genetic freak, so I got a 6.666 chance of winning. Now, Bill Goldberg, he ain't nothing, and he ain't gonna fight me, so he's out. And Mark Henry, he's a fat ass. He ain't got no room in the Royal Rumble. Fat asses.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be Sid math.
Oh, God, no.
It's like, I've only got half the brain you do, and you're twice the man than I am.
Scott Steiner and versus Sid Vicious in a math quiz.
Jesus Christ. We got to put that on WrestleMania. Anything else?
I'm trying to get that image out of my head. Stop. And it's also interesting to see a extremely young Randy Orton before he was hearing voices in his head that talked to him and he understands.
Yep.
And when he couldn't rile a crowd up just by getting into the ring. But that's all I can think offhand. If I remember something, I'll chime in.
Just a memo, a Bradshaw coming in like a house of fire with just some stiff clotheslines. And like, holy shit.
Kata would be proud.
Yes. Again, all the people, just seeing all the people that would ultimately go to TNA and help that company for a little bit of time and whatnot. That was also interesting. Hurricane was funny.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Spike Dudley. Now, what we're not telling you with Spike Dudley is what happened is when the buzzer hit, Undertaker's gong hit. And Kane thought it was the Undertaker, and then the lights come on, and Spike's music comes on. And while this is happening, Kane gets eliminated by Booker T. So that's what leads Kane to attacking Spike Dudley. I'm trying to see who had the shortest time. I think it was Rene Dupree. He only had 33 seconds.
I remember, Rene eliminates somebody.
Rene Dupree eliminates Matt Hardy, and then he gets eliminated by Rikishi.
Yeah, after doing that stupid little dance.
Yeah, Frenchman. I'm a Frenchman. GE actually has the shortest time. Now, they do all this, and then it's only Orton, and right after A-Train gets eliminated, when Shelton Benjamin comes out, then Orton eliminates him. And so you have Randy Orton, Chris Benoit in the ring. They're hit heads, they're down on the ground. Butcher goes off, and who comes out? Ernest the Cat Miller, and somebody call your mama. Somebody call your mom and have it a dance off.
Wait a minute. That was Rose Clay? That, you're in this rubble?
That was the R-Truth moment of the match.
Yeah, well, of course. We need to create that's an award that needs to be made for every rumble. The R-Truth moment.
Yes. Of course, then Rico comes and he gets eliminated. So at one point, it's Kurt Angle, Chris Benoit, and Randy Orton. When number 21 sounds, and of course, we see Test laid out in the back, and Stone Cold's talking to somebody, saying, like, you're number 21, you go out there. And now the whole thing is that they've been talking about Mick Foley, and right before the Rumble match, Taz gets Jim Ross to admit that Mick Foley's a coward. And then his music hits, and it's like, by God! And, like, Jim Ross sold the hell out of it.
Jim, I miss you.
Can't wait till he starts on New Japan on Access TV. On Access.
Yeah. John Cena, when he came out to Cheers in Philly, I was like, I just want to keep this for sentimental reasons.
Yep.
So that was good. No, by the way, Nunzio. Goddamn, dude. You want to talk about most underappreciated men of this Royal Rumble. Nunzio's that man.
Yes.
Beautifully done, sits down, and there's a whole moment where John Cena sees him, and he's looking at him like, why'd you win the Rumble? It's like, I'm resting here.
It's like,
oh, you want to flip me off? Oh, okay. Here you go, buddy. In the Rumble you go. It's
like, and he eats.
And then there's the moment where, like, Big Show slaps him, and he's like, oh, and he's like, you're like a cockroach just, like, going back. It's like, God damn it, Nunzio.
Slapped by Big Show when he had hair.
And then, of course, Goldberg kills him. It's like, well, good night.
Yeah, he's dead.
But, of course, the winner of this match would be Chris Benoit, who would go from number one and win it all. Only the second person to do so. Of course, you won't know that from WWE.
Yep.
Now, mind you, I'm not saying this to get into the whole Chris Benoit debate, because I've talked about the Chris Benoit situation enough as it is on past episodes, so check those out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really good here. At no point, like if you actually watch the match that Chris Benoit wrestled, he wrestled a very smart match. At no point, like, there were times he was in danger, but he never did anything so risky that he could have gotten caught and thrown out.
Yeah.
So him lasting the hour, 1 hour, 1 minute, and 30 seconds actually makes sense.
Yeah.
And, of course, Big Show being the perennial runner-up to the Rumble.
Yeah. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Yeah, but, again, unlike sort of the Rock one, this one made sense. It was just beautiful how it was done with the front chancery and, like, just the slowness of the elimination.
Yeah.
So, all in all, what did you guys think of this pay-per-view? I mean, we'll do it the normal way. Let's start off with top three moments. Mike Schell, your top three moments of the Rumble. Of the entire pay-per-view.
The entire pay-per-view? I would say number three would be the Holly-Lesnar match. Number two, Goldberg destroying everybody, and number one would be the Triple H Shawn Michaels match.
That moments, okay. Shin,
let's see. I'm trying to think here. It's hard to pick. So. All right, number three would have to be, I had it on the tip of my tongue, like I just lost it. So what was it? Number three was Okay, I'll just put it like this. I'll go to number three later. Number two was Benoit winning the Royal Rumble. It was very well done, very well executed, and very deserving of Benoit at the time. If you've been following events in the WWE at the time, knowing that he always came up short when trying to grab that brass ring. And number one, of course, is Michaels versus Triple H. It's going to be another one to add to the already impressive collection of matches accrued by these two legends of the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era.
Did you get to your number three?
I know it was something that happened in the Rumble. I just can't remember what. What was it?
Was it Ernest the Cat Miller?
No, it wasn't the cat. That was pretty funny, but it wasn't the cat.
Was it early or later?
It was somewhere in the middle, I think.
Was it Rico? Was it Kurt Angle? No. Was it Benjamin? Rene Dupree?
No.
Mick Foley?
I'm just gonna go ahead and say it was Mick Foley.
Okay.
Just remember what it was.
All right. For me, my top number three, Goldberg killing Nunzio. Just goddamn. Number two, the snap super kick and the ending of the Michaels H Triple H match. But for me, number one, Benoit winning the Rumble. Something that was well deserved, at like him finally winning the big one, is like him going to WrestleMania. For me as a Benoit fan, it was huge. Mm-hmm. And it's still, to me, it's still huge. And it's like, goddamn, Benoit won it. So, top three matches. Mike Shell?
Top three matches? Number three would be Eddie versus Chavo.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Rumble itself, and number one, Triple H versus Shawn Michaels again.
Shin?
Number three would be Lesnar Holly, for just how fucking stiff it was. Number two would be Guerrero versus Guerrero, because not just the technical aspect, but the storytelling aspect of it. And of course, number one, excuse me, would be Shawn Triple H. Enough said.
No. For me, number three is Eddie versus Chavo. Number two is Triple H versus Shawn. An excellent match. Everybody should go check it out. And number one is the Rumble match. Really enjoyable. And Benoit going wire to wire to win it. Just excellent. So, final thoughts and ratings. Mike Shell?
Overall, look, it's an excellent Rumble to watch again. I'd give this 4 out of 5.
Okay. Shin?
Looking at it, I like this Rumble because you can actually see the kernels of what would be the WrestleMania for that year. I mean, you saw how Brock Lesnar had a hand in Goldberg getting eliminated, so you saw the genesis of the worst match in Royal Rumble, I mean, in the worst match in WrestleMania history. You saw,
which, by the way, by saying that, I also have to elaborate, not Bill Goldberg's fault in that.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, but you saw the genesis of it in as well.
Yes,
you saw the kernels of the main event where Benoit would find himself in the middle of a massive rivalry between these two and would go on to win despite all the odds being against him. You saw Eddie's character evolve in his match with his nephew, and that would kind of lend credence to him winning the world title off Brock Lesnar at the very next pay-per-view, which in turn would lead to that amazing, amazing WrestleMania moment where he and...
And match.
Where he and Chris share a hug and stand on the biggest stage of them all, both world champions together. But so, as a setup for that Mania, for that WrestleMania, I'd say it's a 4 out of 5. But As a standalone pay-per-view, I give it a 3.5 out of 5. Well, mostly because a lot of the matches outside the Rumble suffer from Royal Rumble syndrome, where they were short. They had to pad out time for the actual Rumble themselves. I felt a lot of the matches could have benefited from having more time. But yeah. I don't blame them for it. It's just how the Rumble is. So those are my ratings.
I pretty much agree with everything you said, actually, there. It does suffer the lowercase matches. The first two, at the very least, suffer from not having enough time. In fact, really, you could say all four of the first four matches suffer from not having enough time.
Yeah.
But, you know, still with that, you had two terrific matches in the WWE Championship match and the Guerrero versus Guerrero match. That being said, you're absolutely right. Again, Royal Rumble is the start of the road to WrestleMania, and you can see everything that starts here. Everything you just said, you can add in there Mick Foley, his feud with Randy Orton continuing and ultimately leading to Evolution versus the Rock and Sock Connection.
Yep.
You see in the Rumble the way they looked at each other, the start of the Cena-Big Show feud. There's so many things that ultimately led to WrestleMania 20. And again, it's just great for that moment. But the fact is, you had a couple of terrific matches, even if some of them could have used more time. You had a really great Rumble that it starts to show all of the earmarks of sort of the modern Rumble with the surprise saves, the shocking entries, and all of that. And at the end of the day, Benoit, who, for those of us who've grown up with wrestling, you know, we watched him in WCW. We watched him as he came to WWE, and to see him finally make it and not be the bridesmaid was great for us.
Yeah.
So for me, I give it a 4 out of 5. So that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. I hope you enjoyed it. Mike Shell, you want to tell people where they can find you?
Well, you can find me every other Monday night on the Rising Sun podcast, every Wednesday on Matty J Live, every Thursday on Riff Down, and every other Friday on RBT Game Night.
And Shin,
yeah, of course,
we can find you right here on the Absolution Network. Want to tell people about your videos?
Oh yeah, you can find me on YouTube under my fanfiction pen name, Max Korn, where I review Monday Night Raws, as well as do live readings for the latest chapter of One Piece, which is awesome. Also, and I will also be doing reviews for Lucha Underground now, every week on Wednesday, right around 8 o'clock. And also, you can also catch my other series, Manga You Should Be Reading, where I review little underknown or underappreciated manga that really you should be reading. And this month, February, will be Sports Month, where every week I will profile a sports manga that you should be reading. And the first one's going to be a doozy, Hajime no Ippo.
I've heard of that one. I'm hoping maybe some big windup is on there.
Yep. But it's a big one. It's 1,000-plus chapters.
So. And like I said, of course, you can also find those shows right here on the Absolution Network.
Damn right.
Of course, if you have any emails or comments, remember you can send them at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching for the Absolution Network or by leaving a comment right here on the website at www.an.132productions.com. Of course, like I said, make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions content. Make sure you check out all our friends. This, of course, includes our friends like Matty J and the WrestleCast. They're on the sidebar of the site. Check them out. And that is it for this episode of CMG's Wrestling Reviews. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, I actually don't know what I'm covering, but it is February, so look for maybe some No Way Out. Maybe we'll finally go back to WCW. Maybe even some ECW. Whatever it is, we also will be continuing our reviews of starting the February Raws for 1998. And so until next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM Jew. I'm the best Jew in the world!
Every day I pray to get to know ya. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, bring me down to negative vibes. But I believe, yes, I believe. I say that I believe. I stand on two feet, one knee, brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight and to the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. And what's the ceiling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God, songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be holding a ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the layers and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life but you're dreaming.